Well, Heather McDonald, thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you're touring right now. You're coming to Portland this weekend. We've got three shows for you.
Yes. Actually, five. Thursday is the Live Juicy Scoop, which is a totally different show. It's like all topical and kind of interactive like the podcast. And then the two shows on Friday and Saturday are more stand-up, still topical, but like traditional stand-up shows.
It's awesome. And your podcast, Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald, it's like you're just blowing off the charts. I mean, 300 million downloads, over 9,000 five-star shows. I mean, reviews, iTunes, Android, and Stitcher. It's the number one gossip podcast.
Yes. I mean, I'm very excited about that. I mean, it's what I've always loved. Like, I had a People subscription since I was, like, little. And I've always kind of loved that kind of stuff. And kind of like kicking what's going on in pop culture, but then delving a little deeper and kind of wondering, why did this couple break up? And like right now I'm reading the Demi Moore book. Woo, that's a good one. I mean, anything that's like juicy. So then when in creating the show 4 years ago, I just was like, you know, I'm going to make it a place for people to escape. So there's no politic talk at all so that I can have, everyone can enjoy it. It's never going to piss off anybody. And it's just stuff that I find juicy. Sometimes it's like a juicy crime. Always has to deal with like a marriage or a relationship, you know, because a lot, that's what we like as women, and a lot of relationship talk. But I'm getting a lot of like straight men too that are into it. So that's really flattering. And then I love interviewing interesting people. And the best compliment I get is when someone's like, oh, I heard that person from The Bachelor or whatever on a lot of other podcasts, but you got so much more information out of her and so much juice, and now I really like her. You know, so I always try to find what's really the most interesting about that person that maybe somebody hasn't heard or what. And so that I feel like I've developed kind of a gift for. So I'm, so that's always fun for me to meet new people and interview them on the show.
And just kind of peel back those layers.
Yeah.
Heather, how did this get started for you?
Well, I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, just outside of L.A. People know it now because of the Kardashians, like Calabasas and And so my parents weren't in the business, but we always knew people kind of in the business. And because of that, I was actually like quite jaded. Like I knew I wanted to pursue stand-up and acting and all of that. But I thought, oh God, I know how hard it is to, you know, make it. So I'll just go to college and like be a businesswoman. And then when I was finishing school, I really realized like, oh, now you just have to work at a boring job that you don't like. Everyone should pursue something that really interests them and that they are good at, you know, even if you think that it's a far reach. Like, not everyone can do what you can do. So I was like, well, not everyone can, like, do these impersonations or tell these funny stories, even more so than acting. I was like, this is the thing that I really kind of shine at. So then I started to pursue stand-up comedy and the Groundlings Theater, which is sketch and improv. And then from there, got little jobs. And then and the, kind of the same thing happened then. Kind of took a break from stand-up, but was still in the business. And my boys were little, and Chelsea Lately was starting, and I knew Chelsea just from doing stand-up. So I met, so I found out she was going to start her late-night show, which was Chelsea Lately, and I reached out, and I was like, you know what, I know it's a full-time job, which is hard when you're a mom, but I'm like, I feel like this is such a great opportunity that it's E, and it's up my alley, and I know Chelsea's point of view. And I thought, oh, this will last the summer, and then, you know, 7.5 years later, it's really what launched me or got me known. I wrote two books during that time. And then shortly after that is when I started doing the podcast, just because I kind of wanted to have a little structure to my week. I sort of missed that daily grind of the TV show. And then was really surprised with the reaction. And now it's, you know, I love it. And now, of course, podcasting has become so big, which is great. And more people are discovering it. And it's just a great medium to get people to come out to live stand-up shows and live podcast shows. And so I'm really grateful that it exists today.
And when you're writing, when you do your writing, your comedy for other people, do you ever, is that difficult, especially when you're doing stand-up, wanting to share?
No, I mean, when I was writing with Chelsea, for Chelsea, it was very collaborative with the people at the writer's room. And it's fun. I mean, I like working with other people. I mean, I sometimes miss that. But what's great about the podcast is that all my friends come on the show and I see people all the time. But it was always collaborative. So I was always able to maintain my own point of view as well. Like I'd write, if I was on the show, I'd kind of write her her point of view, what her point of view would be on the topic, and then I'd stop and then like go, okay, this would be mine, because they were different. So, I mean, it's, you know, and I've written for the Wayans brothers too. So I was like, oh, if I can write for black men, I think I can write for a white girl. So it was a really great, fun time. You know, that lasted a long time, and then everybody went on and did their own thing, which is great too, because, you know, I'm still friendly with so many of the other comics and everything. So it was fun.
That's awesome. And then your first stand-up, what was that like? Do you remember?
Yes, the first stand-up was, and I tell people this too, that say they want to try stand-up, I really think you need like a support system, whether it's a class, which kind of has a deadline. For me, I work really well with deadlines. So I took this class, and like after the end of the 6 weeks, it was like a little night, like an off night at a comedy club that you could invite your friends and family. And I had a very supportive family about my stand-up. They, you know, I didn't come from a family of doctors, so it wasn't like, you're not going to be a stand-up. You know, they were like, great, go for it. Like, you're funny. We think you're great. So they all came, and my friends all came, and I had a really good first experience. And that's what I kind of try to tell people, like, try to have a good first experience so that you continue to do it. Because you'll have bad ones along the way, but if the first one is pretty good. And then also if you, you know, can make friends in the comedy world, especially if you're a woman, just because it can be an unsafe place to go at night. Not that all men, not like male comics are bad people, but you're at a nightclub, you're, you know, by yourself, you're walking to your car. You need to like get a support system. It's not made for women. You know, even now as a headliner, they're not used to having females, and I have to remind them like, hey, I'm going to need someone to walk me to the car. You can't just leave me out on the corner. Like, you know, and they're like, oh, okay. Because normally the male comics, they probably thought are going to try to like bang a waitress or whatever. But like, so they need to be educated too. And it's not their fault. It's like, you know, you just have to tell them like, you know, and if I ask for water, that doesn't mean I'm a diva. I just am actually thirsty. And, you know, so we're up against that a little bit as female comics. But I never want to be that female comic that's like, boo-hoo me. But I was made aware in the last few years of like, you know, all the things that basically I put up with, you know, because I just figured, oh, you have to put up with it, the dirty old men and the comments and, you know, things like that. And it's like, oh, no, you know, now we don't, thank God, because the generation like right below me, they said, forget it. So I think it's a great time for comedy. And I think that it's more and more the audience is not about it's a female comic, it's a gay comic. It's like, who's ever funny, funny. And, you know, if the comic doesn't look like you on the outside, it doesn't mean that you can't relate. So, you know, and I think that's really nice that now people are like way more open to it. They're just, or a younger generation, they don't think about it. They don't think it's weird, you know, but I still have to educate my audience. Like, don't say that you had to drag your husband to my show. Don't say I'm dragging my husband. I'm like, because if your husband got tickets to Chris Rock, you'd get a blowout and be really excited to go. So why would you think that he won't enjoy it? And so often when I meet the husbands, they're like, that was hilarious. It was so fun. Because I don't male bash, but I kind of feel like I'm up against that a little bit to get the men to come. And it's not at all like that. And every guy has a great time, no matter what, you know, no matter what their deal is, they love the act. It's not, I've never had a guy walk out or be angry or anything. So
well, there's nothing better than to educate through comedy.
Yes.
Who were your mentors as you were developing your comedy?
I mean, I loved watching like Roseanne, you know, as a child, I loved her sitcom. I'd seen her stand up prior to that. Cause we always had like Showtime and Amy, even at the Improv growing up, Don't Hit a Brag, we had cable, like a pretty extensive package. So I did see comics, and I was the youngest of five, nothing was censored. So, you know, I loved Ray Romano's stand-up. I loved Caroline Ray. Of course, Joan Rivers was really like the first female that I remember whenever she would guest host for Johnny Carson and I was young, I would sneak into my dad's office. He had a small TV there after everyone went to bed and watch it because I was like, but only if she was performing. I didn't really care about Johnny Carson. I just was like, oh my God, you know. So it's interesting when you look back and you really do see, oh, these people were influences on you, even if you didn't realize it at the time. And I never thought that I couldn't do it or anything, because there were people that were paving the way. But then everybody has to be themselves. Like, I remember thinking, oh, you know, everybody kind of becomes a little androgynous on stage. The women that I was seeing besides Joan Rivers, you know, at the time, like, people were like, yo, they were like a tie, like a Paul Poundstone or, you know, or Ellen, or be like a little self-deprecating or something. And, you know, whoever you are, there's no, like, you don't need to shape yourself into what you think is popular, you know. And sometimes I see that with other female comics, that they're starting out new and they go straight to being like really dirty. And I'm like, you know, that's not what you should do, because you have such a more interesting life than that. Like, your parents were immigrants. You work at the store. Like, let me hear about those experiences, because the other stuff, you know, is easier to talk about. Everyone can talk about sex and dating, but like, if you can have like an interesting point of view that'll make you stand out and be memorable among all the other people your age, or that, you know, sort of look like you, then I think that's what really makes a great comic and a great writer.
Is there any jokes, Heather, that are off limits?
I've definitely taken things out of my act. It's, you know, when the times change and you need to accept it. And if you don't want to accept it, that's fine. Go fight it. To me, it's not worth it. There's no joke that I'm going to like go to the mat on. Like, there isn't. So when a word or something becomes un-PC, or, you know, if I choose to do it, I might get a lot of hate on social media for it. It's just not worth it to me. I can come up with something else. I don't need to do a show that for any reason might hurt people. On the other hand, I'd say if you're easily triggered, which is interesting that word's come out, because it, you know, really wasn't around like 2 years ago for people that weren't disabled or something, you know, that you could be triggered by words or visions or something, that I would say probably going to stand-up comedy is not for you. And probably just should like go to like a poetry reading instead. I just, you know, because, you know, cause, and I also think if you, you know, from 99% of the comments, if you watch for a whole hour, there's probably nothing, you will not leave offended. If you take out 7 seconds of an hour thing where they say one word that you no longer like, then, yeah, you could probably throw that on the internet and get people to write them horrible things. So, but yeah, there's, you know, and then there's certain things I'm putting my special together, and I'm like, do I need to take this out? Because I use an accent, you know, and everyone's like, no, like, you're too specifically doing a person. I'm like, you're right. If this person was Southern, I would be doing a Southern accent. It has nothing to do with, you know, just really is that person that I'm impersonating. And then I think that's where then we start to get in trouble, where we're like, okay, now maybe the pendulum swung too far, because that's not really fair to me. It's not fair to the joke. It really is the story. Why am I taking out parts of the story if I'm telling a true story, you know, and it's not to hurt anyone's feelings, you know, like that's where it's like a little bit crazy, because you know what makes us America and cool is that we are different, and there are stereotypes, and there are, you know, and I think as long as your stories are authentic and coming from truth and your point of view, you know, I think that, and you're not someone who's racist, I think that, you know, then you should go for telling your story and not be so overly sensitive about it, because that's what makes the stuff the greatest, you know.
Well, that's just it. I mean, looking at the comedians, especially, it's hard to be a comedian today because of all the PC upticks and social media. And I mean, look what happened to Kevin Hart, Roseanne. I mean, and Roseanne, I guess that's, you know, depending on where you're sitting on that, maybe she deserved this. I don't think she did. Eddie Murphy, I just saw him coming out apologizing for who he was in the past. I mean, Eddie Murphy, then I liked him better in comedic sketches than his stand-up, because his stand-up was pretty harsh. And it's like, eh, I'm going to, you know, watch something else. You know, it's like, turn it off, change the dial, go to a poetry reading like you said. But today it's not like that. I mean, your head's on a guillotine. I mean, your career could be completely demolished via social media if somebody finds one thing from your past 10 years ago that can destroy you.
Yeah, I mean, that's why when that stuff comes out now, if anything's like that, you just, you know, want to get like right in front of it. And that's also great for social media. Like, you want to address it right away, because it's, you know, so, you know, it's hard, because sometimes like, oh, do I just ignore that or do I address it right away? And I would say now it's probably just best to make a statement and address it right away, because otherwise it just sits and people brew and, you know, and then there's other people, there's other times you just, it's obviously like a troll person that's just out to get you, and those people aren't worth your time, and you just block them and you move on. But it's hard, you know, it's hard.
So, Heather, is there anything from your past that you'd like to take this time to apologize for?
Yes, actually, there is. There was a horrible misunderstanding at a club this past weekend with an opener. Several things happened where I thought she didn't get the note that I didn't want her to be dirty. I didn't get the note that she was in a different green room. I thought she was going to be in mine. And it was just a tons of miscommunication. And then she went on her radio show, and I just saw the video, and she said I was the worst diva ever. And she said she wouldn't let me in her green room. And it was 100% like that isn't true. And like that's now on a video out there. So, I mean,
you have to get in front of it.
Yeah, I have to get in front of it. And I want her to know the truth. I feel bad that she felt badly. But she also says I'm the worst person ever, and I'm Satan. So now I have to fix that. Because she thought I would let her in my green room when that isn't the case. They put her in a different green room. I didn't even know there were two green rooms, you know? And then being a woman, then now I don't support women, and I'm and I wake up to mean tweets, you're the worst, and, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, that was all miscommunication on the venue's part, you know? So it's like, and that's what I'm dealing with today. But hopefully that will happen in Portland. I'm bringing my own opener. And she's been my friend for 20 years, so she knows that's not my character. Okay. Their whole character is destroyed on talking to someone for 4 minutes before a show, you know? Okay.
So I know.
You're making me feel better about it, actually.
Okay? No, get in front of it. That's that miscommunication. Well,
yeah.
She's using Heather McDonald to better herself and to get her ratings, so...
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm like, well... It reminds me of, like, authors that use Trump to hate on him in their books, but yet they're making money off of him. I just, like, went, isn't that interesting?
Yes. Yeah, it's true.
So I guess maybe it's a compliment.
You're giving someone attention, and then, but then you also be guilty of that, and people also say you're using that person to get attention. So you're like, oh, God, I guess I won't answer that question than if they ask you about somebody that's, like, a bigger deal than you or whatever. You know, right. Then they get mad. Why do you keep talking about me? Well, someone asked me. I mean, it's just like, oh, God, you know, everyone just can pick apart everything now because there's a way to go back and forth and look at it, and it lives forever and all of that, you know.
And people are only going to listen to what they want to listen to. They aren't doing that critical thinking piece is really missing right now.
Right.
So, in your podcast, you talk about The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Housewives. You talk about everything. And I've seen you on The Housewives, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I also noticed you were in an episode of Frasier back in, 2001?
Yes, I love doing that. That sitcom, that was great.
And that's when he was married to Camille, so I'm doing a little gossip here myself. Did you see them together then, or what was that experience like?
First of all, they were somewhat newly married. I don't know if maybe she just had one or two of her children that were small. And if not yet, and she was lovely, and she was really sweet to her stepdaughter. I saw them on set, and then afterwards, she was a creator and a producer on his production company, and so she came up with a show or was spearheading a show that was female driven, and I got to read in front of her, and so then when she'd come on my show, my experience with her prior to Housewives and after Housewives when she was my guest has been nothing but like lovely, but people can still watch and have their opinion because that's their opinion. Their only opinion is what they see on TV. So it's like, that's what's kind of interesting, you know, and I'm not going to go go defend it. I'll just like make fun of the light of it. And when I do my like Barbie reenactment, she loved it. I thought it was funny. Like she had a great sense of humor about it. So that tells me that she's cool. You know, that's my opinion. She's cool. And I can't imagine being on these shows. I think they're extremely hard emotionally for anybody. I don't care if you say you're Erica Jane and you don't get an F and all this. You do. You sell your soul to the devil to be on these shows, I think, in a lot of ways. You put a lot of people at risk. That's in your family, your kids, your husband. You know, yes, you become super popular. And yes, you know, you become famous and you can launch businesses. But I think there's a lot of collateral, too, that happens, you know, and that's hard. So it's like, I like to cut some people some slack, you know, as well.
Well, and she's gone through a lot. And then watching her on The Housewives, I was just, I'm not quite sure, Camille.
Yeah.
But she's been through a lot. There's a lot going on.
It's I mean, look, she, you know, and they catch you. Those, I'm like, oh my God, these editors are savages. I mean, they're savages.
Yes.
They know how to place it. They know how to pan over. They wink at, they're like literally winking at the camera for you to figure out what was, you know, despicable about that person or hilarious or not intelligent or whatever. And that's again, what you do. You think as much as you can, like, control it, you just can't. And you know, and some people grow from it and their lives get better and they leave their awful husband because they had to see it play back, you know, and there was no denying how awful they were. So I always tell people, like, don't go on the show unless you're, like, kind of excited about getting divorced. And this might be the catalyst. If you're, like, happily married and don't need the money, like, please go start a blog or something instead. Like, do not do this.
Heather McDonald, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. And I'm so excited that you're coming to Portland October 3rd, 4th, and 5th, the Helium Comedy Club.
Yes.
Where do we find tickets?
You can go to heathermcdonald.net or you can call the Helium Club. There's VIP too. So that's like meeting me after. You get preferred seating. You get great photos. You can ask me anything. You have a little time to hang out after. So that's available for all 5 shows.
Again, I'm a big fan, and I'm excited you're coming to Portland and appreciate this opportunity to talk with you. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.